And now I'm traveling with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I'm singing on a praise and worship team there. So I'm spreading the good news through song.
Settle the issue today. It's God's perfect will for you to be healed, and the Word itself is the only evidence you need. Join Kenneth Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory and take hold of the Word of God. Jesus is the healer.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Now we're looking here at how easy it is to receive from Jesus. And it is the perfect will of God. Matthew 8, we read the second verse. Let's go down to the fifth verse. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, home, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, I will. Now notice that I will. I will come and heal him. Amen. He didn't even ask him to. Are you listening? He said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now see, he realized that he's not a Jew. He knew enough about the word, and you'll see why as we read these accounts of him. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go. And he goeth, to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, and that included his own disciples, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Praise God. Now then, let's go over to Luke 7:1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he went home. Don't you love it? A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So this is a man that, as a Jewish proselyte, he was spending time in the synagogue. Now that's the synagogue where Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. Isn't that interesting? So he knows that since he's not under the Abrahamic covenant, that he's not covenant worthy of Jesus coming into his house. Now, don't get the idea that that'll work for you. Lord, I'm just unworthy. No, don't you start that. No, sir. Are you born again?
Yes.
Then you're a new creature.
Yes.
And God didn't make any new creatures unworthy.
Yes.
No, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Amen. Any man that's in Christ is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, don't get over into that unworthy business. That's a strong badge of unbelief. Now, and when they said, he built us a synagogue, he loves our nation. Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, trouble not thyself, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having unto me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Praise God. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. So why was this a marvel to Jesus? Why did he marvel at that faith? Because he demanded no evidence other than the word. You say the word, and my servant will be healed. He recognized the authority of the word of God. Now, you and I not only have the authority of the word, we have the authority of the name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Matthew 9, second verse. Well, I'll read the first verse. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, which would be Capernaum. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Cheer up! Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed and go to thine house. He arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. All right. Now, Mark chapter 2. And first verse. Now, Matthew said that he said, cheer up. Amen. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. So he's at home. Now, I thought for a long time that this was a hostile crowd, but it was not. He was not in a synagogue. They had come to his place. Amen. This is very, very important. And and straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, can't you see him? He's standing up there preaching the word. The place is jam-packed. They've come in there from the whole area. And can't you see the smile on his face? And they're letting this guy down in front of him. And he's standing there, and before they can get before they can even get him down before Jesus, can't you just see him? Hey, son, cheer up. Your sins are forgiven. Before he ever got to the floor. Now, those present, that distracted them. Now, we know what he's teaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. So, you know, he took them into the, into the book of Isaiah. And he's, one account said he's preaching, another account said he was teaching the word. So which was he doing? Both. I noticed this in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. He's teaching, the sower sows the word. And suddenly it said he shouted with a loud voice, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. That's not teaching, that's preaching. Amen. He's a preacher.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's where we get that.
Yeah, amen.
That's when we get excited, we holler loud. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We get it from him.
Yes.
Amen. And when you boys get older and you get up and you start preaching, you're going to start shouting loud too. Amen. Just like that old man Copeland does. You're like your daddy does. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, you, and he's an excited man. Oh, he'd preach. Amen.
Amen.
And teach.
Amen.
And heal.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Now see, I done run off from a book. Get excited. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, where was I? Okay, yeah. Now, when he said that, it distracted them. They didn't get out of sorts with him, but their religion drew their attention and they began to think instead of listen. Now, it doesn't have to be a theological thing. You can just get it distracted. I've seen it happen. You get right into, and some little disturbance take place in the congregation, and people turn around and look. That's because you're not committed. Now, when you make a decision to be a doer of the word, and not just a hearer only, I mean, they can set Somebody set a firecracker off underneath the pew and it wouldn't make any difference. You're still locked into the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Just don't pay any attention to anything else. Amen. But see, they got distracted. So now, and follow this with me. You can do it. It can be something silly. My Gloria's best friend, she... Baby's been a hairdresser since she's a little girl. And she's done Gloria's hair for I don't know how many years. And so she told me when I was talking about this, she said, I really have to be careful because I can't keep from looking at people's hair. And you know, she gets fixed on, she sees something about somebody's hair and she gets to thinking about, you know, I wonder how they did that. Or why did they do that? or you know, just enough for the devil to distract you just enough where you miss something that's important that was feeding your faith all the time. And you get over in your mind, get out of your spirit, and get over into your carnal mind. Amen. And to be carnally minded is death. So that's what was happening to them. But Jesus perceived it and ministered to them. Now then, this man speaks blasphemies. Verse 7, who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee. Now notice he's using his words as tools. He didn't just say, arise. He said, I say unto you. So we know he believed it in his heart and he said it with his mouth and knew it would come to pass. If the man would act on it. If he would act on it. Because when he said it, he's still paralyzed. He's still lying there. He had to act. Now, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So see, they were amazed and glorified God. They were not a hostile crowd. Now let's go to the book of Luke in the 5th chapter again, please. Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. So we found out that he preached and that he's teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Amen. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, how was the power present? Well, Jesus was there. The power was present. Amen. It's his will for all them to be healed. And the word was there. So praise God. They were hearing the word. Now, up until they got interrupted, we don't know how long that had been. But we do know that he was preaching and teaching. Amen. And preaching and teaching the blessing of Abraham and not the law. Amen. So, since that was happening, we know faith was coming because they were not hostile. They had come to his home to hear him. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. So we know faith was coming. Now Jesus is the healer. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he needs a receiver.
We live in a word-controlled universe. Learn how to receive your healing, live prosperously, and take control of the words coming out of your mouth with the Healing Confessions Package. Recreate your life and health by the power of your words using the mini book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be by Kenneth Copeland. Stop telling it like it is and start telling your health what the Word of God says it should be. Understand the promise of healing with the mini book, You Are Healed by Kenneth Copeland. Use this Bible-based study to build your faith for healing and know that by Jesus' wounds, you are healed. Speak healing scriptures over yourself every day. Healing Confessions, Activating the Healing Power of God Through the Spoken Word by Gloria Copeland is a CD and mini book that gives you healing scriptures right at your fingertips. Use them for yourself and to pray for others. Live a healed and whole life full of the Word. Speak your healing in faith and know that God has healed you.
Speak healing into your life. Request your free Healing Confessions package by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and discover the truth about the power of your words. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 for this free resource from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I'm Delwyn Williams. This is my lovely wife, Joy. When I was around 30 years old, I started searching. I was in my medical training as a psychiatrist, and I realized I didn't have a lot of answers for certain questions that people were dealing with. And I started seeing the Kenneth Copeland Ministries on television. It gave me information in terms of understanding the human mind in some ways that I wasn't getting in my training in psychiatry. But it also helped me to become a better person. It helped me to develop a closer relationship with the Lord.
Well, I was in bed that night and I had some excruciating pain in my sides. I looked at my husband and I said, something's really wrong here. And he started asking me some questions and realized I had a fever, and usually means that I have an infection. And so they looked me over really well and advised him to take me to a hospital immediately. It took a long time before they discovered exactly what was going on and discovered the E. coli in my blood system.
She had a very serious infection. She was septic throughout her entire body, and that's a very poor prognosis.
They put me on a morphine drip because the pain was just unbearable. They didn't know what to do. They just wanted to get to the most important organs first. Most people, when they have what I have, they don't survive.
I began to realize it's important not to just believe the prognosis. And so I didn't accept that prognosis, and I encouraged Joy not to accept it. Again, because of plugging into a terrific ministry like Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I realized that God has the healing power, and we needed to stand on His word in terms of turning that situation around.
During that time, I realized I had fallen in love with what Jesus was doing for me and what He was doing through me and the gift that He gave me through song, and had forgotten all about just the love with Him.
And then the night that I had gotten to the point where I didn't want to live anymore. I just said, I'm ready to go home, Father. It's okay. Take me home. And then I heard the Lord call my name. He said, Joy. I said, yes, Lord. He said, do you love me? I said, with all my heart. He said, to feed my sheep. I said, well, I can't do that. You said that to Peter. I don't know how to do that. I just want to go home. I just want to go. I don't want to be here in this pain anymore. And then the next night, almost the same time, and I heard Jesus call my name again. He said, Joy? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? I said, yes, with all my heart. He said, feed my sheep. I said, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do for the rest of my life. And you won't have to be concerned about me ever. And he came and he walked towards me. He took his right hand. He put it on my shoulder. He said, be healed.
That morning, we started to see the effects of her improving. And the physicians were confounded by that because they didn't understand. They hadn't done anything different. And they were expecting the worst. Yeah. But Jesus had turned it around, and it's exciting.
Well, after I was released from the hospital, my husband and I went to go get a status from my gynecologist of the 6 fibroids, one of which was about 7 centimeters long. And she asked if I had had surgery. And we both looked at each other and smiled, kind of chuckled. She said, it's as if somebody surgically went into your body and cut the veins that were feeding the fibroids. They're dead. And she said, I can barely see them. What happened? So we had a chance to minister to her too. And I don't have any fibroids. I'm pain-free. I'm living a life that is just incredible. I have the privilege and honor to minister at our music ministry at Eagle Mountain International Church. And now I'm traveling with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I'm singing on the praise and worship team there. And so I'm spreading the good news through song. And wherever I go, you know, I'm always telling people how good the Lord is, that He's faithful, and what a joy it is to know Him.
What a precious testimony. What an example to us of coming into the presence of Jesus to receive your healing. The Word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, sometimes we seek the strength or we seek the healing, but we forget it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's Jesus who's our healer. So while you take those scriptures that Brother Copeland, that you've learned from my mom, that you've learned from the Word of God, take those healing scriptures, take them before Jesus in His presence and allow Him to minister that healing to you the way He did with her. You know, this weekend I heard somebody talking about waiting on the Lord, and he said something that really impacted my thinking. I want to share it real quickly with you. Ask the Lord, Lord, have I been waiting on You in the right way? Am I waiting on You to do that miracle I want? Or am I just waiting on You in Your presence? Not waiting for You to do something, He's already done it, but just presenting myself for You to talk to minister to ask me the right questions. Get yourself before Jesus and things will change. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
For a free copy of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast on DVD, CD, or digital download, visit our website, kcm.org.